This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thank Big Ed for that transition from Walt Disney. Did you notice? To Governor Ron DeSantis. Now, why would he do that? Well, are you not listening? Ron DeSantis and his family are not going to be going to Walt Disney World on a free pass in the next, near future.
Do you think their photos are at the ticket booth? Do not admit.
There'll be somebody in a goofy costume sneaking up behind him and hitting him over the head with a baseball bat if he does try to get in. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. We are a bit goofy sometimes, but not the goofy. We welcome you, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, it is Friday, April the 22nd. Wow, this month is really moving along, is it not? In a few minutes, Kent Lastman, he's president and the CEO of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We will be talking with him about the lifting of mask mandates on planes and on trains. Now, is it going to stick? Or will the Biden administration get it overturned? Because they're trying to, you know. Well, we're going to talk with him about that. Stay tuned. And speaking of the illustrious Walt Disney Company, Walt Disney stock has plummeted since their feud with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about where that stock amount is right now. Should the company take a stand on CRT? Should they take a stand on sex education to young grade schoolers? Well, we're going to talk about all of that and more with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later in the show. And what is happening at CNN. Now, I don't know if you ever watch CNN every once in a while. I turn it on because I like to hit myself over the head with a hammer, and then when I change the channel, it's like, it feels so good when I stop hitting myself with the hammer. Anyway, they have canceled something called CNN Plus. Made a big deal out of CNN Plus. Chris Wallace of Fox News jumped over to it. Anyway, they're canceling it a month after its start. And the network, the whole network seems in turmoil. We are going to take a look at that. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie. The top 10 movies with the most Oscars. With the most Oscars. Do you think you know what they are? Well, you're going to find out later in the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin. For my money, it is the best barbershop man that you can get to in the Tampa Bay area. I implore you to give it a try. It is located on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street in Dunedin. You got to call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Well, before we get into some of these things with Walt Disney and mask mandates and the whole bit, we still got that horrible situation over in the Ukraine. President Biden went on national TV yesterday. He says the U.S. intends to spend another $500 million in economic aid to Ukraine. I'm sure they'll be happy to get that. They've been begging for planes. Somehow, we can send them all kinds of other weaponry, but I don't know. For some reason, the planes are scary. For some reason, the planes are scary. Biden has announced what he calls a new uniting for Ukraine program. He will enable Ukrainians seeking refuge to come directly from Europe to the United States. I don't think a lot of people here in this country have a problem with that, as long as they vet them, as long as they're not sneaking over the border, as long as we do it the right way. I mean, that's what this country is all about. In the meantime, Ukraine says Russia is refusing to allow the evacuation from Mariupol in a steel plant. I mean, can we hate Vladimir Putin any more than we hate him right now for what he is doing to people, innocent people in the Ukraine? Yes, we can, because you find out that they are letting people rot, starve to death. They won't allow women and children to leave. Says here, the Russians refuse to open a corridor for civilians. Why would they not allow civilians to leave? Why would they not? In the meantime, Ukraine is accusing Russia of burying up to 9,000 Ukrainians in mass graves. For those of you that read history, this is bringing back Nazis and Jews and exterminations and horrible, horrible things. Putin has got to be the most, what's the word, most despicable man on the planet right now, if you think about it, with all the things that are going on over there. I can't think of anybody that could be worse. He knows, he has to know how despised he is. And no matter how we want to not talk about it, I'm sure there are all kinds of groups that are figuring out a way to get to him.
You know, thinking about you always ask why we can't send those, why can't planes be sent
the
over?
The MiGs, yeah, the Polish MiGs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been thinking to this date of what we're sending over there, what we're giving them, are those things that knock down missiles, incoming things or whatever.
I don't know.
And other things, but it seems everything we give them is defensive.
Yeah, that's what...
Well, and I'm wondering if Putin draws a line that says, okay, if you give them anything that's offensive, then we're going to drag you into this thing too.
And what's the difference between something... For instance, we're giving them missiles that will hit Russian convoys. I would call that an offensive missile, but we're giving them Stinger missiles. Or we're allowing them. I say we're giving them. The United States is probably not, you know, it's an indirect handover. My question is this, though. If we are giving them weapons that are obviously designed to kill, why are we not allowing planes to go across, to be flown by Ukrainians, et cetera? They're not even American planes. They're Polish MiGs, you know. Why are we so scared on that front? I'm not quite sure I understand that. If Putin was going to drop a nuclear weapon, he's got all kinds of excuses already to drop a nuclear weapon, in my opinion, you know? So, who knows? Anyway, let us take our break. We're going to change horses. We are delighted to, we'll be speaking with Kent Lastwin, head of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about the mask mandate, the travel mask mandate, and the lifting by a district judge.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday, and we thank you so very much for being with us here on Freedom Works. Well, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, is ending its COVID-19 indoor mask mandate a week after reinstating it.
They had a few extra masks laying around they wanted to sell.
Okay, we got them sold now, so you don't have to wear them anymore. The Board of Health voted yesterday to rescind the mandate. They say, quote, decreasing hospitalizations and a leveling of case counts of COVID-19 is the reason. Now, on Monday, wasn't that 4 days ago? On Monday, April the 11th, the health department had announced that Philadelphia would require face masks indoors. So I don't know. It's just one more thing. People should be able to wear a mask if they feel more comfortable. But it's becoming more and more the idea that you should have a choice on it. So we're delighted to have Kent Lastman, who is, by the way, the president and the chief executive officer of the great Competitive Enterprise Institute, great organization fighting on behalf of business. He's going to join. We're going to talk about this district judge in Florida here that rejected the mask mandate. And of course, the Biden administration is scrambling and trying to figure out if they're going to go ahead and appeal it. Kent, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thank you. Always love to be on your show.
It's a real pleasure to have you. So I know that CEI has been talking about this travel mandate. In fact, Devin Watkins from Competitive Enterprise Institute has run a piece on it. Overall, from your perspective and from business's perspective, this mask mandate, is it a good thing, in your opinion, that you no longer have to wear them on trains and planes, at least temporarily not?
I think it is, and I'm gonna approach this question first from the perspective of how we want our government to operate, and then we can get into the health questions, which are very important. And you end up with the same answer in both cases. But what we have now, what the judge down in Florida, federal judge, Catherine Mizell is her name, what she found was this mandate from the had no authorization in the law. So they were doing this based on their judgment, which is a perfectly fine thing for the CDC to have, but not to exercise authority with. We empower these agencies and public officials with law, not with whim and their preferences. And secondly, she found the way they went about it was illegal. It violated the central 80-year-old law about how we regulate in the economy, the Administrative Procedures Act. So they did it the wrong way, and they did the wrong thing. The wrong thing being acting without authority from the law.
Yeah, she has never...
Very important.
Yes, I'm sorry. She's never pretended to be...
It's very important to get that settled.
Yeah, I think you're right. She's never pretended to be an expert on the medical reasoning. She's looking at the legal reasoning. The Center for Disease Control does not have the authority to dictate to the country about whether or not to wear a mask. Either way, they don't have it. They're not the legislature.
And that's exactly right. You go straight to the heart of the matter. We do have mechanisms to create that sort of authority. It's called a Congress. And when things happen quickly or when things happen that affect the whole country in a negative way, the Congress can act. It's not like it takes 18 months to get a law. All the Congress has to do is meet, pass a bill, send it to the other house. You know, sometimes they do this in less than a day.
Yeah, exactly right.
This has been going on for more than 2 years, two and a half years. We've known about the virus. If the Congress wanted to create and then delegate that authority, they've had plenty of time to do this. The CDC didn't have the authority. All of this stems from politics. The president campaigned back in 2020 and said he promised. One of his pledges on the campaign trail was that he would create a mandate for public transportation. And the day after he was inaugurated, there was an executive order instructing any carriers of transportation to impose a mask mandate. And as a result, not wanting to get on the wrong side of a lawsuit from the federal government, all the air carriers, Amtrak, Uber, Lyft, anybody that might be affected by this executive order, they all started complying because the cost of fighting it was much higher than the cost of pushing their customers into this mandate.
Right. We are talking with Kent Lastman. He is president and CEO of the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute about the lifting of the mask mandate for travel by a district judge in Florida, Catherine Kimball Mizell. Speaking of her, Kent, I would tell you that the mainstream media seems to have gone after her, saying that, A, she's a Trump's appointee. What do you expect? B, she's inexperienced. She was never serving as an attorney or something. I mean, they're going after the messenger. And yet, if you look at the message, you realize how competent she was in her decision.
It's really interesting. The ruling itself is not that difficult to read for a layman. She stays right in the four square corners of what was put before her. It's a very workmanlike ruling. It's not fancy. There's not great flourishes. She doesn't delve into, you know, hundreds of years of precedent. She just says, here's the law, and here is how it's been applied, and it looks like you've gone out of bounds. So therefore, it's invalidated. On this other stuff, I don't want to use, I'm sure this is a family program, I don't want to use harsh language, but that stuff is just garbage. You know, we don't have Clinton judges and Bush judges and Obama judges. We don't have Trump judges. We have federal judges. And those federal judges come to their seat of authority based on the Constitution. And that means their name gets sent by a duly elected president to the United States Senate. They are reviewed. You know, everything that they've ever done in their life is flyspecked by Senate staff, and then they go through a vote. I think if you're a federal judge, you can have good or bad rulings. You can stay with the law or create the law from the bench, you know, one being better than the other by far. But it's not a partisan job, and we don't do ourselves a service when we put up with that from critics in the media.
Right. Now, the Competitive Enterprise Institute is a business lobby, and there are businesses out there that probably are still requiring that their employees come to work and wear a mask. Obviously, the more that you're involved with health issues, medical and dental, I suspect, a few others, you know, that may apply a little bit more. But so if a business wants to say, look, you got to wear a mask to work here, do they have that right?
Oh, absolutely. It's just like we live in a country that spans a continent, and we span the largest ocean on the planet, all the way out to Hawaii. We ought to expect diversity. There's diversity of tastes. We have diversity of ways we interact with one another. And if I go into your home and you ask me to take my shoes off, but I don't do that at my house, I would respect that. If I go into a sandwich shop and they have a sign on the window that says, please wear a mask, I will put on a mask or I'll pick a different sandwich shop. It's not a problem as long as you don't require it under penalty of sanction from the government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what's at stake here for the air carriers and administrators of the airport authorities is, in their analysis, and they have a lot at stake here. You remember after 9/11, you remember right after the announcement of shutdowns with this virus, air travel plummeted. People did not want to go step on a plane. And those businesses were in dire straits. They have a great incentive to make sure that the public that they transport from point A to point B is safe. And so they take every measure that they can. They study this. And it would be well within their rights if we saw one air carrier, if we saw American versus Delta or United, say, you know what, we're going to require masks on our flights. Or we're going to require masks on flights of more than 3 hours. But those sorts of diverse solutions are only available when we let the market work.
Exactly. I was going to say the private sector is working it in this case. I just,
right.
I guess I'm not quite sure why Biden and the administration would want to challenge this rule. I don't think it does them any good politically. I really don't. Do you think that they...
Go ahead. I would say the president's, in the last year and a half, the president's political judgment hasn't been right on target. So if you're
being kind.
Political, if you're trying to understand a political analysis, it just might not be there. I think more likely what they're doing is they know... that the mask mandate that was invalidated was actually only for 2 more weeks. It was set to expire May 3rd on its own. So they know if they challenge this, it actually won't get adjudicated. Their challenge, their appeal, will not get adjudicated in the courts before it was set to appeal. So coming May 4th, the day after, their challenge, their appeal will be mooted, which means it's canceled, it no longer matters, and they will be able to claim, look, we tried to fight back against these bad actors, but we just ran out of time. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to have to live with the law that they gave us.
Yeah.
So they're trying to have it both ways, by appealing, but not really wanting to win.
You know, it seems like that with this Title 42. They want it both ways. They, on the one hand, you know, Americans need to mask up again when they're getting on board of a plane or a train or a subway, but we'll allow people crossing the border illegally, even when we catch them. You know, we'll disregard any concern about, you know, bringing a COVID-19 across. I mean, if they were really that concerned about it and the spread of COVID-19, wouldn't they want to keep Title 42, don't you think?
Well, I think this goes back to the politics of it, right? The politics of a travel ban are visible. Title 42 is only visible to people who are paying close attention or people who live and work and travel in the border region, which is a small population. So if they think they can get away with this because it's invisible or people are looking the other way, they're not paying attention, they will.
But they are paying attention.
It's
a huge issue now. I know what you're saying. It doesn't directly affect them on the southern border. It doesn't directly affect them, whereas this thing is all over the country. But still, people are paying attention. It's just so, I don't know, it's so ironic, if not hypocritical, I would think. Although it looks like
critical, you know, you were saying that I was being too kind. I think you're being too kind. You're a little hypocritical.
Well, and you know what? Despite what they're saying now, I think they are really seriously worried about now lifting that Title 42. Even a bunch of Democrats are coming out and saying, "Hey, don't do this. I got an election coming up in a few months. Don't do this to me." Anyway, Kent Lastman, it is a pleasure. Thank you so very much for coming on and talking to us about this. It's always great talking with you and your colleagues.
Love being on the show. Thanks, Paul.
Okay, sir. Kent Lastman. All right. Let us take our break. And when we come back, Walt Disney stock. Go look. It's going down the tubes. We're going to talk with our proprietor from the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, about that. And should a company like Disney take a stand on CRT and sex education to young grade schoolers?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Do you have trouble with communicating, or are you drowning in clutter? You are not alone. There is a solution. This is Christiana, your clarity coach. I can help you find the clarity you need, and it's easier than you think. Whether it's your communication, your mind, or your disorganized physical space, join me Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Clarity Corner with Christiana, and let's do this together. Remember, that's Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are back on a Friday, and you know, Walt Disney, they've never had so much publicity. Walt Disney, it's never had, in my opinion, as much publicity as it has right now, and it's bad publicity. You would think Walt Disney, if they have a lot of publicity, is going to be good, right? Not so much. Disney is poised to rank among the worst performing stocks of the year, after the company became embroiled in a high-profile political controversy with the state of Florida. The stock had reached an all-time high last year of nearly $200 a share. You know where it is right now? It's $120, so it's dropped $80. It's dropped a lot. It's roughly down about 33%.
Say $120?
Yeah.
It costs less than a ticket to get in.
You're right. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's $125 last time I checked.
Ah, can you imagine? If you had a family of four and you wanted to go to Walt Disney World for the day, how much do you think you would spend? Just as a guess. $500?
Just in tickets?
No, everything.
With kids?
Yeah, four kids. Let's say you're going to go for, just as an, we'll get there at 10 a.m., we'll leave at 4:30.
$700?
Wow.
Well, you know the concession area. I mean, that $25 4-ounce Coke.
And they have, it's like a ballpark then, huh? Yeah, that kind of price. Okay. Well, so we got their stock plummeting. They've been involved, and they want to be involved in taking a stand on young grade schoolers and sex education and critical race. These poor kids are... They don't even, you know, they're just finding their way. They're learning how to tie their shoes.
You know, if I was a shareholder in Disney, I would work to fire the CEO.
As a matter of fact.
Because I would say, look what you've got. Look what you've cost us now.
Interesting you should say that. The former head of the CEO of McDonald's says that the Disney execs should be fired. Should be fired for getting into political fights. By the way, we've got our very patient master barber, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, this whole thing is becoming so crazy. I'm wondering if Walt Disney World and the Disney Company in general are thinking twice, what the hell have we gotten ourselves into?
Of course they are, Paul. You know, first of all, I'm getting fed up with maybe 2% of the population in this country trying to destroy everything this country was about. I mean, all you hear is LGBT, transgender. Who cares? Now they're putting up billboards in Florida, the transgendered organization or something. Oh, cannot stay gay. And, you know, what is wrong with these people? Do they feel that rejected? Do they feel that they don't belong to the people around here so much that they got to go nuts with all this stuff? We don't care what you do.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. No, you're right. I was thinking, I wonder how this all started at Disney. Was there some executive that went, now let's see. Are we being totally inclusive? You know the word inclusive. Are we being totally inclusive? Do you think that maybe there are some kids that are afraid to come to Walt Disney World because of this, that, or the other thing?
Well, I wouldn't worry.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
I wouldn't worry about those kids paying the expenses, okay, Paul? Because if you take 10 kids, from the ages of 3 to 5, how many of them think they're transsexual already?
They don't even think that. They don't know what it means.
This guy is a CEO. He should be in the trash. He's probably a transgendered himself, but nobody knows it. Okay? And that's why he's going nuts, because he feels rejected. But you know what? If you feel rejected because you're transgendered, you don't belong around here. Because nobody rejects what the hell you do.
Yeah.
I'm sick of hearing them.
Yeah. In the meantime, yesterday, the Florida House of Representatives passed a bill that would dissolve Walt Disney World's special governing power. They got a special perk, you know.
That's right.
They were built, I think it was around the late 60s here in the Orlando area. And they got a great deal. And they got a couple of their own towns. And they run their own towns. Anyway, the move would have huge tax implications for Disney, whose theme parks have transformed Orlando. Democratic lawmakers could be heard shouting in the background as they attempted to protest the bill that would strip Disney of its self-governing status. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, Paul, you know, first of all, you hear the Democrats saying, oh, this is going to cost the taxpayers money now. It's going to cost the taxpayers money. Well, why don't they research it? Disney's got to pay $200 million more a year in taxes now. That ought to take care of the tab.
Yeah, I would think so. You're probably right about that. Speaking of the Democrats, they were demanding, and in fact, they tried to cut off the discussion by Republicans on this bill that would cut back on this special perk for Disney. They began a protest. Let's see. They would sport a T-shirts. And they're making it a race thing, by the way.
Well, you know what? People are sick of hearing race.
Yeah, they are.
Okay? They're sick of it. They're sick of the Democrats. They're sick of hearing their race crap. They're sick of hearing transgendered. Why don't you realize what's going on in the world? People are starving out here. $4 a gallon gas, 8.5% inflation.
Right.
Okay, what is wrong with these people? They think that's all we're worried about is transgenders and gays? I don't care about you. I care about what's going on in this country.
Yeah,
what
I think.
About you.
Enough about the whole Disney mess. What else do we need to talk about these days? You mentioned the cost of gas. It seemed to go back and forth a little bit. I saw it dip under $4 a gallon at one place. I go to fill my tank, and it was wherever I went. It was $4.06 a gallon. It was like over $70. I got a little car, over $70 to fill my tank. So,
it's sickening, Paul.
Yeah,
it's sickening. What's going on? This Democrat administration isn't doing a damn thing about anything. You got innocent people being murdered in Ukraine. All of Europe should be ashamed of themselves for not doing nothing. Nobody's doing nothing. They're afraid of one man. What is wrong with this world, buddy?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
And we got Biden, whose numbers have plummeted down. I think the last poll that we saw was a Quinnipiac poll to 33% favorability. He's become whatever it is that you become when nobody wants you to be anywhere near them if they're running for re-election. Anathema. He's becoming anathema.
Man, the whole Democrat Party is like a disease, Paul. I don't know what their agenda is except to try and destroy this country.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, I think you're right. So on a brighter note, how are things going in the barber business these days? We're getting into, you know, after Easter, we start thinking about the summer and everything else. Do we have more or less snowbirds around right now? Are they because of the pandemic?
You know, Paul, Florida is no longer a retirement community like it was when I moved here. Okay, the population here has exploded. business has exploded.
It sure has.
Phenomenal. And it doesn't where before it used to depend on snowbirds making money, it doesn't depend on that no more.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
I mean, when I first started on 580 38 years ago, 580 was two lanes with orange groves and potholes all the way down.
Really?
That's right.
I'm just trying to picture. Did they have altered? For those of you that don't know it, in Pinellas County, he lives. He works on a very major thoroughfare, and one of them is called Highway US 19. Was that 30 years ago? Was 19 just like a little road, or what was it?
Well, US 19 38 years ago was flat. It was two lanes on each side.
Oh, with God.
No traffic lights at all.
No?
All four-way stop signs or four-way flashing lights.
Really?
The B-21 liquor store down toward Tarpon, that's where the two lanes that were divided ended, and it was two lanes undivided the rest of the way north.
So when you opened your barber shop and you had to get up in the morning to go to it, did you hurt your arm cranking your machine, your automobile, and all of that?
During the summer, I used to put a chair in front of the barber shop, sit out there, and get a suntan. That's how slow it was.
Oh, yeah.
It is not that no more.
No, it's not.
I don't know what has happened. And you know, you got to wonder, the way that it's growing, what kind of infrastructure do we have here to handle it?
That's true. Now, generally speaking, I must say, because I've come from Illinois and Chicago area and everything, I think they handle the traffic patterns fairly well here, at least in comparison. It's always a mess up in the Chicago area. I dreaded having to drive into the city, et cetera.
Well,
go ahead.
Do you know that US 19 is a United States highway, a U.S. highway?
Yes.
And it is the only U.S. highway in the country here who can do U-turns.
Is that right?
That's right.
I didn't know that, but you can do U-turns.
Yeah,
well, that's one thing I've always yeah. That's one thing I've always kind of
turn off of it.
I've always kind of liked the idea of having that ability to do a U-turn because I would get lost so easily, you know. And you're right. In Florida, they're rather liberal about that. They really are. So, everything else going well for you? How is your dear wife Nicole? She was battling a little bit of the virus.
Well, she's doing wonderful, Paul. She's giving me orders of everything that's got to be done. She's feeling just fine, believe me.
Oh, that's great.
It's amazing. But you know, Paul, one thing I got to say, and I hate to bring up the Disney thing again.
No, bring it up.
I think Governor DeSantis is doing one hell of a job standing up to these big corporations that have been getting paid by big backers for the Democrat Party and this one world system, of standing up to them and putting them in their place.
Mm-hmm.
With a little luck, Disney stock will go down to about $30 a share.
Now, people are saying, well, the governor shouldn't get into a feud, and Disney, blah, blah. Now the governor of Colorado, don't know if you've seen this, the governor of Colorado says, hey, Disney, pick up stakes from Florida and come on over here.
They're going to have enough money left over to move that place, believe me.
I don't think they want to move it.
No.
You know, they're doing great.
Colorado for it. They're going to have to put ski slopes there.
That's right.
That's what it'll be.
Yeah.
It gets too cold. People aren't going to go there. Well, the governor did the right thing. Enough of this crap about trying to spread all this stuff to these young kids. Let the children be children. Take your agenda somewhere else.
I don't know if you heard, but the former CEO of McDonald's.
Yes, said, I did.
Yeah, the executives of the Disney company should be fired.
Sure?
For becoming involved in a political issue like this. I think he's right.
Well, Paul, look at that. A lot of these companies got involved with it. It just happens that these other companies are in other states and the governors didn't have enough cayunes to do anything about it.
I think you're right. Do you think this is going to stop other big companies from trying to become involved in...
I think they're going to learn a lesson, Paul, a big lesson. I think the shareholders are going to tell them, you guys better keep your mouth shut. You're costing us money.
Yeah. I always think and wonder what Walt Disney himself would think about all of this. I think he'd be heartbroken.
He's turning in his grave. They turned Disney World into a cesspool.
Yeah, it's sad to hear that. Well, hopefully it'll get itself righted. It's a, you know, the whole concept, initial concept, is wonderful for children.
I mean, no, we're going to have the gay, transgendered little cartoon characters now. Hey, come on, give me a freaking break. Survive on your 1.5% of the population. That's all I got to tell them.
Yeah, I got to admit, and it goes all the way back to 1953, I was always a little worried about Peter Pan. And I'm sorry, but I always
I agree with you. And Tinkerbell.
That's another one.
That's right.
And all those boys. Anyway.
But that was Walt Disney's time, Paul.
I know.
Was Walt Disney trans?
No. Don't you dare say that. By the way, you know Walt Disney has, and we're going to do Oscars, that Walt Disney himself has more Oscars. There's nobody even close. Nobody even close to the number of Academy Awards that Walt Disney had. He had 22. 22.
Well, I got news for him. His corporation now keeps going the way it's going. They're going to get all kinds of awards.
Yeah, you're right.
Believe me.
Well, my friend, thank you so much. We're going to be taking a couple of days off next week, Monday and Wednesday. I'm going to forewarn you. So I will talk to you again, God willing, on Friday of next week, a week from today.
Sounds great, Paul. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Bye-bye. There he goes, Andrew Ceraci. All right, let's take our final break. And when we come back, what's happening to CNN? They just canceled CNN Plus a month after starting it. They seem to be kind of losing their way. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back with the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us on a wonderful Friday. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great, great Tantalk Radio Network. But thanks to Big Ed, if you can't listen to us live, he puts all our shows on the website under podcast. Just go there, look for the podcast button at the top. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. So, Ed, did you ever hear of the CNN Plus? You probably didn't even know it existed, did you?
Well, you know, they're all doing it. Disney Plus. It's a streaming outlet,
yes,
where they can
is.
Stick a bunch of stuff on a Fox News Plus.
Mm-hmm.
They've all doing it.
Okay. So. Well, at CNN, you know, things haven't been going well. Their numbers have been diving. So they've been, and by the way, they're going to be taken over, you know, by the Discovery Channel people. Did
oh,
you know
really?
That? You know?
Yeah.
Warner Brothers.
Maybe they could discover new ratings.
Yes. Well, that's what they may do. Warner Brothers Discovery has pulled the plug on CNN Plus after they recently launched the streaming service. One of the guys that made a big deal, and he left Fox News after many years, is Chris Wallace.
You know, he was always, to me, on the fence. When he was on Fox.
Well, he was liberal.
Yeah.
He was liberal. Although I think he tried to be more balanced than a lot of liberals. And let's face it, he was on a conservative station, a network, and he had to, you know, he had to be a little bit more focused that way. So Warner Brothers Discovery is going to possibly go in a different way. In fact, they're thinking that they may move CNN more into... Remember when it used to be Strictly News, when Turner and everything had it?
Yeah.
And they had headline news.
It actually used to be a pretty good news outlet.
Oh, it was.
When they reported the news. They didn't give you their
opinion.
Remember,
they were the only 24-hour news company in town on TV.
Right.
Cable news. I don't think Ted Turner has anything to do with CNN anymore. I'm quite sure he doesn't. I wonder how he feels about it.
Well, I think Discovery probably said, "Listen, your station stinks. Why would we want more of it?"
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm. And here's the sad thing: on March 28th, CNN threw a big swanky launch party for CNN Plus, and all the big names were there, and they had a. I can just see the place, you know, with all the food and the crab and the, I don't know what, you know, and the wine that's flowing, you know.
And they had a... Hmm? Don't forget the fans. I think we have the recording of the fans that were there.
Oh, let's listen. Crickets! Oh, you're a sly one. He's got all these little buttons. Yeah, you want a certain sound, he brings up a certain sound. I got to credit you, Ed. You're good with that stuff. Hey, listen, before we get to our very good top 10, what's going on with our beloved two teams that are playing these
games? I actually watched the Lightning last night. They were on ESPN. I thought maybe the jinx was off, though, you know, and then they just tore them up. I think it was 7-1.
Tell me.
When I lost interest, it was 7-1.
Oh, they were winning?
Yeah.
Against whom? Do you recall?
Hang on.
That's right.
Canadian team.
Okay.
Winnipeg, I believe
the
it
Jets,
was.
The Jets, and they were beating them bloody,
yeah,
huh?
Beat the heck out of them.
Okay.
I think Stamkos had two goals.
Well, they're getting ready for the playoffs. There's only, I think, a few games left, right, before they get into the playoffs?
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Okay. And what about our beloved Rays? Are they doing okay?
Yeah, they got out of Chicago with only a half a game, but they called it a full game, and that's another one where they kind of exploded. I got to say, this team is a different team with Juan DeFranco. I mean,
who is Juan DeFranco?
He's that super rookie that we had only half a year last year. We brought him up about halfway through. Yeah. No. Shortstop.
Shortstop, okay. What's good about him?
Just a great hitter.
Just a great hitter?
He's a great hitter. But it's still, you know, we're still stuck in that rut with Kevin Kiermaier, who's constantly, you know, striking out.
Yeah. And he was, they expect, well, it's early, of course, but they expect big things out of him.
Who?
Kevin Kiermaier.
Well, he's been there for 10 years.
I know. I'm saying that this year, aren't they?
I
agree. He's never. You're saying he's never reached this potential.
I made an introduction for him.
And now, at bat, number 39, Kevin Swing and a Miss Kiermaier.
You are good, Ed. I must say, you got all these things right at the tip of your fingers.
Remember Nelson Cruz, who we brought in last year, the big hitter?
Yeah.
And how he whiffed out real early? I made one for him.
And now, at bat, number 23, Nelson.
Ha! You thought I could hit!
Cruz!
I'd love to hear that, really.
Wouldn't you love to hear that in the stadium?
Yes, I would.
So that'd get his attention, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
I'd just like to be in there, tap into their system,
God,
and play that, you know? Anyway, so the Rays are one game above 500. So it's so early, you can't tell
it's
what's
early.
Going on.
Yeah, it's really too early. Okay.
Now they're actually going to be home for a 7-game homestand. The Red Sox are in town tonight.
Okay.
I don't know if Lola's got on the Rays, and I'd like to know where our tickets are, but we'll talk to her later on that.
Yeah, the Red Sox, they're going to have more Red Sox fans than the Rays fans.
They're
possibly
bandwagoners, whatever.
Okay. Anyway, time for our top 10. This is a good one, I think. Top 10 movies with the most Oscars. I want to see And if you can name them, when I say them, I mean there's more than one at the top, okay? All right. And as a matter of fact, there's a whole bunch. There's more than 10 in here. So actually, the first that we're going to do for a drum roll is the number 8, because there are six of them.
You can cut my guesses out if they're black and whites.
Okay. The first one we're going to salute is Slumdog Millionaire. That was the Indian movie, you know, made in one of the big cities in India. It won 8 Oscars, including Best Picture, okay?
Yep.
All right. Another one, roll the drum again if you would, real quickly. Another number 8 is On the Waterfront. Now, that was a black and white movie. It was made in 1954. It starred Marlon Brando. He won an Oscar. They won Oscars in that for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Brando, and Best Supporting Actress, Eva Marie Saint.
And that was part of that quiz show answer where they found out that the quiz show was rigged.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, the best. And he said on
21?
He said, 21 was rigged.
Yes, it was.
And he said it was something else, and everybody knew it was On the Waterfront.
Oh, yeah, you have a good memory, or you read that recently. Okay, roll the drum again. We got another number 8. My Fair Lady. Remember that one?
No.
Oh, okay, well, anyway, Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Actor, Rex Harrison. Another drum roll. We got a bunch of number 8s. I have to say this. They all have 8 Academy Awards. I'm just going to tell you what they are. Gone with the Wind, which won for Best Picture, Director, Actress, and Supporting Actress, Hattie McDaniel. The next is Gandhi, also 8 Oscars. It had Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Actor, Ben Kingsley, playing Mohandas Gandhi. Another number 8, it's a black and white, Ed. You probably never heard of this one. From Here to Eternity?
Sounds familiar, but no.
Burt Lancaster was in it. Anyway, they won 8, 1953. Best Picture, Best Director. Frank Sinatra won for Best Supporting Actor. And Donna Reed, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
She won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress. Mm-hmm. Another one is Cabaret. You remember that?
Sounds familiar.
In other words, you don't remember it.
No.
Liza Minnelli. Liza Minnelli won for Best Actress, Director won, and a guy by the name of Joel Grey.
And what year was that?
1972.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And finally, the last number 8 is Amadeus, 1984, Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Supporting Actor, a guy by the name of F. Murray Abraham. All right. Number 5, The Last Emperor. It was made in 1987, won 9 Oscars, Best Picture and Director. Number 5, we have a tie. Gigi, 1958, 9 Oscars, including Best Picture and Director. And The English Patient. You remember that one, The English Patient?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, they won 9, made in 1996, Picture, Director, and Actress, Juliette Binoche. Okay, all right. Number 4. West Side Story. Remember West Side Story?
Yeah.
A little bit. They won 10 Oscars, Picture, Director, and the Supporting Actor and Actress, George Chakiris and Rita Moreno. Now we got a tie for number 1, okay? So whatever you want to do there. Titanic, Best Picture and Director. The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, 11. Both of them 11. Best Picture and Director. And Ben-Hur, 11, with Picture, Director, and Best Actor, Charlton Heston.
I can see, Titanic was a smash. That was... Well,